Welcome to Justice on Trial. I am Jeremy Dean QC. I have practiced as a criminal defence barrister since 1983, defending in all types of criminal case. This series of podcasts puts the spotlight on the criminal justice system. I will be speaking to government, lawyers, former prisoners, family members, and campaigners, amongst others. I will also be scrutinising the impact of coronavirus, especially upon those who are locked up, as the rest of us are locked down. The criminal justice process is a cornerstone of our free society. Together, let's take a close look at it, its strengths and weaknesses, and whether it serves its purpose. This is Justice on Trial. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Zara, who is going to discuss with me the situation relating to her brother, Ahmed, who's been detained in a London prison over the last couple of years. Did Ahmed have a problem with one or both of his eyes when he entered prison?
Not at all.
And so what you're indicating is that in the time that Ahmed has been the responsibility of the state, that he has lost vision in his left eye and substantially lost vision in his right eye. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes.
So he's gone almost blind whilst being in prison. And in particular, we're going to be spotlighting the implications of coronavirus and recent developments. Basically, the story that we're hearing from you is of a guy who goes into prison fully sighted, who's now almost blind. He's been told that he's at risk of catching coronavirus, but no special measures are being taken. Furthermore, his circumstances have deteriorated, whereby he's not even getting his medication. Visits have been stopped. There's limited contact. I mean, it sounds like this is a totally nightmarish, hellish situation for him and for the whole family.
He's in the prison in this dirty condition and is waking up, going to sleep, feeling anxious and scared and uncertain, and it's the prison is being completely insensitive and having this reluctant attitude to treat these prisoners.
So first, can I thank you for giving up your time today to speak to me?
No problem, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to get it out.
Can I ask you first of all, just tell us a bit about yourself. I believe that you're currently a university student, is that right?
Yes, I'm a first year student, and I have two older siblings. One of them is Ahmed, and it's been a long journey, but I'm studying English and history, hopefully going into being a solicitor.
Right. And your father is quite an illustrious man, is that right?
Yeah, he's a doctor. He was born in Iraq, and at a young age he wanted to go to study at a university in Scotland, a University of Edinburgh, and he became a doctor of geneticist. And he's a very successful person, and he grew our family to be very educated, very intellectuals, and that's what Ahmed eventually he went to school, he did his A-levels, he got high grades, he attended university. However, that's when everything went downhill.
All right, well, let me ask you a bit about Ahmed. So how old is Ahmed?
He's 26
at the moment. And you've just touched upon his education. He did quite well at school, and then...
Very well, yes.
He went on to university. What did he study at university?
Biomedicine. He was studying for a biomedicine degree.
And how far into his degree was he before he got himself into some trouble?
He was in his third year.
So he was in his last year.
He's the type that's when he studies, he absorbs all the subject. He knows what he's saying. He knows what he's doing, and he usually gets very high grades. But I think he was struggling a lot, so I don't think it would have been that much of a high degree.
Okay, well, let's just confront the reality of the situation. The position is that Ahmed is currently coming to the end of a prison sentence of approximately 4 years. Is that right?
Yes.
And that prison sentence was for a drug supply offence?
Yes.
So just tell us briefly, Zara, to the extent that you can, how does a young man from a background such as yours, with the potential that he has, find himself serving a substantial prison sentence for a serious offence?
As the younger sister, I saw a lot of... Every family has their own problems and their own experiences that they go through. And Ahmed, as the eldest, had a lot of responsibilities, and he was pressured a lot to have the best grades, do this, take care of this, take care of that. And I think over time he just felt lost, and his mental health, I'm pretty sure, factored into this.
It must have been an incredible shock to all of you, not least Ahmed himself, when, you know, his life transformed from being an aspiring student at university to a serving prisoner in a London jail. That must have been an incredibly shocking experience for everybody.
It was really surprising, I'm not going to lie, because he was always the type to be very talkative, very nice, very, like, you could have a very decent conversation with him, and you can tell that he is a decent person and someone that is trustworthy and honest. But I can't talk on behalf of Ahmed, but I can just say that although he's done these mistakes, as a person and as a person, he's very caring, and I think he knows what he's done. And I mean, everyone's human. Everyone makes mistakes. They just get lost.
Well, you speak with great insight into the way, you know, Ahmed's life has unfolded. We're going to come on soon to talk about the, you know, the dramatic impact of coronavirus on prisons. But just let's focus on the pre-corona period. I mean, how would you describe Ahmed's time in prison pre-corona?
I mean, Ahmed suffered a lot in prison. And when he first went in, he developed a severe eye infection. Not only did that cost him his vision and his left eye completely, but 60% of his right eye. And you would think, you would assume that the prison would take this seriously, would take this matter further by giving him medical assistance, doing this and doing that. However, they neglected him completely, and that's why his situation became worse. Yeah. The poor treatment of the staff in prison, I was really surprised, because I always thought these prison officers, they were there to protect us, to make sure everyone is safe, to human rights is a big thing here. And I was really scared. I was really scared for my brother Ahmed, because it really led to the deterioration in his eye.
Can I just ask you about his eyesight? Because, you know, what you're telling us is truly shocking. Did Ahmed have a problem with one or both of his eyes when he entered prison?
Not at all.
And so what you're indicating is that in the time that Ahmed has been the responsibility of the state, that he has lost vision in his left eye and substantially lost vision in his right eye. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes.
So he's gone almost blind. He's gone almost blind whilst being in prison.
Do you know how much it hurts when I go to visit and I look at him and I can't tell whether he's looking at me, and it's really heartbreaking to see your own brother like unable to express how he feels, because of course as a man and as an older sibling, he refuses to show that he's in deep sadness and upset. And it really does break your heart when you see someone close to you having lost an essential part of your body.
Well, obviously, I mean, you're talking about your brother in effect going blind. I mean, in terms of treatment, you know, what standard of treatment has he had? I mean, if we start at the top, excellent, going down to the bottom, you know, totally unacceptable. Where on the scale of treatment, vis-a-vis Ahmed's eyes, would you say he comes?
If I'm being completely honest and unbiased, I would say totally...
unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Because he's supposed to be given hospital appointments, checkups, medicine. However, these hospital appointments, they refuse to give and take him to and back. And not only did they not give him these appointments, but in front of him, they would throw the medicine away in the bin. They would refuse to give him his medicine.
Yeah, but are you saying they did that for any particular reason? Was it because he was, you know, complaining about his situation or what?
Yeah, my brother's the type to always stand up for himself. And if there's something wrong going on, he would make a complaint, but not in a very nasty way, in a way where he's trying to wrong with the right. And the effect of my brother making a complaint and standing up for what he believes in, this has given them a reason to treat him inhumanely and gives them more of a reason to refuse to treat his illness.
And in the face of all this, you know, your brother coming from a very, educated background, being a student, being a fish out of water in prison, losing his eyesight, turning almost blind. I mean, has he managed to form relationships in prison?
My brother Ahmed has always been the type to connect with people and help people, and since his time there, not only has he progressed in regards to his education with doing courses, finishing courses, doing this, doing that, but he's developed a close relationship with some of the prison officers, and this has allowed him to work in the reception area, which is given to the only most trustful prisoners. And he's been praised a lot by being an exemplary prisoner,
right? But that obviously hasn't been rewarded with respectable medical treatment.
No, at all.
But can I just ask you, Zara, your father is obviously, you know, a fine man. How has he coped with this situation?
Well, my dad is 70 years old, and although that's an old age, he never stops fighting for his children. And since Ahmed has been in this situation, he has fought tirelessly with lawyers, prison directors, anyone possible that could help to consider Ahmed's human rights and lead him to be released earlier. But in that time, he has suffered 3 strokes, one last year during a court trial to get him to be released earlier, and 2 this year on the same day during a pandemic, may I say. It's been really difficult on my dad. He's a very open man, very social, always likes to take care of everyone. And since he hasn't been able to take care of my brother, it's been very hard on him.
How recently did your dad suffer his last 2 strokes? Was it very recent?
Was it very, very recent. Yeah. So the recent stroke happened 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And that fell. He went into hospital. I took him in the ambulance, and he had 1 stroke in the beginning, a small stroke, and then a big stroke at night.
Okay. Well, that is absolutely terrible, and I'm going to move on to talk to you more about the situation now that we all confront coronavirus. But I just want to ask you this, please. I mean, obviously you're not medically qualified, but is it your perception that the way Ahmed has been treated, the loss of his sight and everything else, has contributed to your dad's state of health?
Yeah, because my dad is he's very empathetic, and he feels what his children feel. And the way Ahmed talks about his experiences and his mental health, it saddens my dad a lot, and it's led him to be really stressed out and always and very tired from continuously fighting for his son.
We can all understand that fully. And I want to come on and ask you about what's going on now, because Ahmed is still in a London prison, is that right?
Yes, he is.
And are you aware of how things have deteriorated in prison over the past few weeks, and now that, you know, we're all suffering from the scourge of coronavirus?
Yeah, my brother Ahmed, he whenever he would have the chance to call me, he would tell me about his concerns of the coronavirus and how it's already impacted the prison. He told me to take care of myself as well, because from what he's seen, this pandemic has had a rapid change, not even just in the outside, but inside the prison.
And how has it changed in prison? I mean, how have conditions worsened?
I mean, Ahmed told me that it has caused... So he's received a letter, a notice saying that he's most at risk to get this coronavirus, and that...
I think has he had the letter because he's taking medication and, you know, he's a vulnerable...
Yes, he has the letter that he is most at risk to get this coronavirus, and that they would move him to another wing. And they have moved him about three times in the past few months, which is ridiculous, because every time he would get comfortable, they would move him. And it just really causes him to be more stressed out than he already is.
But in terms of coronavirus, I mean, have visits, phone calls been affected?
Yes, they have. Visits are cancelled. The president doesn't allow any family members or friends to see their loved ones, and it's just ridiculous.
And what about phone calls?
Phone calls are less than usual. Mm. The communication has been lowered massively.
Yeah.
And in regards to the sanitation of the prison, my brother expressed his concerns for how there's been already a shortage of cleaning supplies, sanitizers, no washing liquids to buy to clean their cells, and the conditions of the prison is extremely dirty. Prisons are already not as clean as it should be, but the fact that it's even dirtier now, and that during this pandemic, is ridiculous, and it makes all prisoners, not just my brother, but all prisoners in danger of receiving this serious...
So can I just be clear as to what you're telling us? And this is based on information, as I understand it, Ahmed is giving you, that even prisoners like him, who've been written to and told that they're at maximum risk of catching coronavirus, they're not being given any special precautions. There's no self-isolation precautions, that sanitary provisions are low, and that, you know, they're really left at risk of being infected. Is that right?
Sadly, yes.
How anxious does that make you and your family feel?
Extremely anxious, because my father just came back from hospital. He's unable to walk. He's not thinking properly. I mean, we're already trying to take care of my dad, and now we have this thing with Ahmed, and it's making us so unable to get up every day and start the day, and it's really leaves us really unhappy. And the fact that he's in this extreme discomfort due to the lack of basic essentials such as toilet rolls is so... You wouldn't think that this would be happening in a London prison.
What you're telling us is really hard to believe. It's such a horrific story that in the year 2020, people like him are being treated in what could only be described as a cruel and inhumane way. Are you aware of any... you know, limitations on his medication, the medication that he normally gets for his condition, has that stopped or been affected in any way?
Yeah, a lot of prisoners, they get this PRM medication, which is used as a painkiller and to be given at least when required up four times a day. This is really important for them because it helps them cope with the day and helps them helps them with their pain. However, now they're struggling to receive it twice a day.
So, like, yeah.
Which leaves them unable to sleep because the pain is so bad, and it just leaves them sleepless, and they need their prescribed painkiller. It's a prescription. It's required to be taken. And especially Ahmed, he has a lot of medication for his eye vision.
So can we don't, can, yeah, yeah.
We don't want his right eye to also be gone.
No, no.
And it's just ridiculous because, and very, so, like, I can't believe that this is happening in a London prison.
So, I mean, basically the story that we're hearing from you is of a guy who goes into prison fully sighted, who's now almost blind, who's been told that he's at risk of catching coronavirus, but no special measures are being taken. Furthermore, his circumstances have deteriorated, whereby he's not even getting his medication. Visits have been stopped. There's limited contact. I mean, it sounds like this is a totally nightmarish, hellish situation for him and for the whole family.
I mean, at least we're sitting at home in safe, and we can feel like we're not going to get this virus. But he's there. He's out. He's in the prison in this dirty condition, and is waking up, going to sleep, feeling anxious and scared and uncertain. And it's the prison is being completely insensitive and having this reluctant attitude to treat these prisoners. They're humans at the end of the day, and they shouldn't be punished further than they already have.
I mean, do you receive, as a family, any communication from the prison whatsoever, updating you, either as to Ahmed as an individual, or as to what measures the prison are taking to protect the health of your family member?
Not at all, and I can even tell you, I sent an email the other day, a letter the other day, to the prison director, and I haven't received any I've gave my number, my email, my any contacts, so they would be able to reply to me, and I still haven't gotten any reply. And there's no communication whatsoever.
I mean, that is just abominable, obviously, and you know, the more you pile on layer of information, the worse it becomes. I mean, it sounds like Ahmed wouldn't hurt a fly. If he was released today, would he present any risk to the public whatsoever?
Not at all. I can promise you that. Because I'm not saying this as his sister. I'm saying this as someone who's seen the progress he's had in prison. Now, I believe that prison has had a massive and a positive impact on him. I go visits weekly, and I see him the way he is. It's like a different person. I don't even recognize my brother from how he used to be. Like, it's amazing how much he's bettered himself, and so excited to have these, like, go back to university, start a new degree, just better himself and leave that life behind him. He's so eager to leave that life behind him.
Are you aware of any prisoner or prisoners at the jail he's in being diagnosed with coronavirus?
They said that there has been threats of some prisoners having this virus, but they are still checking to see if they do or if they do not. But however, this doesn't change anything. The condition, the state of the prison, is still the same. Everyone is still doing what they usually do, except that they only have 30 minutes to go outside every day. And that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, look, I mean, amidst everything you've said, Zara, and, you know, it's really quite shocking and traumatic. You've talked in passing about Ahmed bettering himself whilst in prison. I mean, are you saying that prisoners work for him, or how do you view this horrendous experience?
100%. 100%. I mean, despite all the horrific experiences that he's been through, I feel like it just showed him how life should be. How he should do it. what he should do with his life and how he should be. And it just, it made him feel so appreciative being outside, being with
yeah,
everyone.
But are you saying, family. I mean, are you saying that in your view, his treatment, losing his sight, the way he's suffering now, are you saying that you see those things as being justifiable, or are you drawing a distinction between the experience he's been through and the way prisons are run? I mean, how do you see it?
I mean, there's definitely, I'm not saying that it's justifiable at all, because no human should be treated like that. But I'm saying that the fact that he's lost his eyesight and all of this effect that has had on his mental health, it just made him see the world completely different. And although he's lost his eyesight, it just opened his inner sight of the world and how, and the future and what he wants to do. And he, before his eyesight got worse, he was saying that this place has honestly changed him, because he was taken away from his family, taken away from the world, and he just natural human interactions, and without being classified as a prisoner and an inmate and this and that. And I think it just made him appreciate what he already has, and yeah. I think he's just very eager to come out. But none of the way that he's been treated is justifiable. It's absolutely inhumane, and not only, and I can even say that it's affected his mental health to be even worse, to be more depressed, to be more vulnerable, more sad, and so, it's just
so the sentence for Ahmed has not just been approximately 4 years imprisonment. It's been partial blindness, mental health deterioration, and human suffering on a long and widespread, pretty severe sentence.
Yep, and he's been trying to fight his mental health so much because he wants to come out and be happy and experience everything and be with his family, the most important thing. And yeah, I think it's really heartbreaking to see your own brother like this. And I can say, pretty sure speak on behalf of all prisoners' families, that people make mistakes, and yes, they should be punished, but not the way that these London prisons have done it.
You couldn't have put it more clearly. Just before we wrap up, which we're going to have to do in a moment, can I just ask you this? If you were able to meet with the Minister for Prisons today, what would you say to him?
I would tell him, this is going to make me nervous, because I want to make sure I get through to him. I want to make sure that he feels what I feel. And I'd probably tell him that, imagine this is happening to your own son. This is really difficult. But I would,
it sounds like you're lost for words.
I would tell him to show mercy. I am lost for words, because it's not every day you get to get a chance to show how, it's very hard to express these emotions. Yes,
quite honestly, I think that you've already said more than enough in the most crystal clear of terms to convey the situation to us, and frankly anyone in your position will be lost for words, bearing in mind what you've been telling us about. So what I want to do is to thank you profusely for the time you've given, and for the clarity with which you've explained things, to wish you and your family the best of luck for the future. All right?
It's my pleasure. And I just want to say lastly that I hope all families take care of themselves during this time, because some people are having great difficulty in just being with their family, and people who already have that opportunity should really take advantage of it.
That's a message that you put across in glorious technicolor. So thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. Take care.
Throughout this podcast, all names have been changed for safety and legal reasons. Thank you for listening. Join me again next time for another episode of Justice on Trial. Please don't forget to subscribe. And if you liked what you heard, please give us a good review. And if you have a story you feel is worth sharing, please get in touch by tweeting us at justice_ontrial.